commerce, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible, lamp of life immortal, hold up that splendor by the open grave. Show me the light from heaven's shining portal. Show me the glory yielding Jordan's way. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Let's mark our books at number 662. 662 will be the song of invitation after Brother Robert's lesson. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 405. Mm-hmm. 405. And after this song, J.H., would you lead us in prayer? Thank you. Oh, thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Dreams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure save me to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interpose his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee, never leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above.
Jim, Father, thank you so much for this day and your day and all the blessings of the Father. We're thankful that we're able to gather here together as your people once again and worship thee. Father, it's our prayer that our worship here this evening be acceptable in your sight. And Father, we pray that everything we do and say here at this place will be well pleasing unto thee. Father, we're thankful for the congregation that meets here. Father, we pray your blessings be upon us as we strive to do what you would have us to do, not only locally but throughout the world. Father, we're thankful for Brother Tom, who's willing to lead us in song. And Father, we pray your blessings continue to be upon him and Sister Mary Jean. Father, also thankful that you sent Brother Robert our way, and that Father, we pray that you'll give the increase on all of all the efforts that that he puts forth. Father, we're thankful that we live where we do, where we have so many rights and freedoms. And Father, we pray for our nation. Father, we pray for our government. sent your Son that we may have a hope of eternal life. Father, we're mindful of those of our number who are sick. Pray your blessings be upon them. Father, we pray for Brother Travis continually. Pray that you will bless and strengthen him and those that will be administering unto him. Father, there are many that we know and love that are traveling at this time. Father, we pray that you would keep your hand of protection on them. And Father, may they return safe. Father, all too often we fall short of the standard that you set for us in sin. Father, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins. And Father, may we repent from them. Please go with us now through the remainder of our time here together this evening and throughout our life, and bring us back Wednesday evening for Bible class. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're talking today in regard to Jesus and his sonship of the Heavenly Father, and how that he came to teach us a way of eternal salvation, and how that in life and death, Jesus taught us how to live, how to behave, how to practice the way that God the Father would be pleased. For he himself wished to please the Heavenly Father. If you turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 tonight, we'll begin a study of this particular topic in these particular verses. I've had various brethren tell me through the years, once I have preached this particular lesson or a part thereof, that they were not aware of these verses in the Bible and had no reference to the idea of it being a conversation that was held between the Father and the Son up in heaven before we ever came to this earth about the mission and the ministry that Jesus would fulfill. It is noted there in Hebrews chapter 10 at the beginning that there is a contrast between the old law of Moses and Levitical priesthood and the animal sacrifices and the like, and that which was to come. Notice Hebrews 10 beginning 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance made again of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Whereof, well, verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them. and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Where remission is, there is no more offering for sin. The first 18 verses of the 10th chapter of Hebrews affirm to you and me the place of that old law and the place of that one who was to come and set forth the new law of God. It is the case that as we read these words, we are summoned to the very presence of glory itself. For these things were said, you'll notice verse 8 above when he said, and notice verse 9, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. The idea of this above and beyond this earthly life are solidly set forth three times in these 18 verses. While he was above, he was speaking to the Father in regard to this wonderful plan. The Father had said in regard to this matter that what he had planned and what he was thinking, man had never had it in to enter his heart. This was stated to Paul as he was writing the letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And a passage that is used in a secondary way, and it can be used in a secondary way, I'm sure. I don't have any conflict with that. But it's far from being just a funeral address on a brochure that says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered in the heart of a man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed these things unto us by his Spirit. Now we speak these things unto you. What Paul was there, and what the Holy Spirit was there affirming, was that it never entered in the thoughts and hearts of man the real plan of redemption. It was a spiritual plan. It was in the mind of the Heavenly Father. And it was in the mind of the Godhead. And when Jesus says here above, I will go and do thy will, O God. He was saying that to the knowledge of the Father's will that was coming up. And he would come to earth, live the life that he did, teach the teachings that he gave, and go back to glory. The Father had assured him in this regard. In Genesis 17 and down at verse 21, reference is made to Abraham at that time that it was in Isaac that the covenant that I have made with you will be continued. Since it was going to be continued in Isaac, and Isaac was the young man that was going to be offered in sacrifice, Abraham reasoned that God's promise superseded his request, and that if it were the case that he was actually to offer him in full, complete sacrifice, that son Isaac would be raised from the dead by the Heavenly Father because his will would be fulfilled. Second time that is mentioned is in Genesis 21 and in verse 12. When he says that it is through Isaac thy seed shall be called. So it is that Abraham had the idea of it. And this is what the idea was of the Son of God as well. He trusted the Heavenly Father that when he died upon the cross, rejected by man, rejected by his own received him not. But the fact would be that the Heavenly Father would call him back from the dead. His tomb today is still the only empty tomb throughout the world. It is the case that that tomb is now empty. And it was empty because of the fact that the Father had promised him he would call him back from the dead. He trusted in that, he believed in that, and that's exactly what took place. But before he ever came to earth, he had a love for the Heavenly Father, and he had a love for the Father's will. Notice the words that are used here in this reference in Hebrews 10 and at verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. How can we say this when we look back to the book of Leviticus and Exodus in the Old Testament Bible, and notice God's commandments for them to offer daily sacrifices for things, weekly sacrifices, monthly sacrifices, And then, of course, the great atonement sacrifice of the year in that reference. That God really never had pleasure in those things. In reference to the context here, we need to interpret this passage. The context is of his son saying, I will go and do thy will, O God. I know that in sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure in them. What Jesus was actually saying to the Father was this: in sacrifices and offerings, you really didn't have the kind of pleasure that I will provide in taking the sins of the world in my own body, trusting you and being put to death. I trust you to call me back from the dead. And this will be the case that you have the greatest glory, you have the greatest pleasure in this. And it never was in the animal sacrifices. The blood of bulls and of goats never were able to take away sin. Only for a year time. Notice what he says. For every priest standing, he said he offers it daily. And at times again, many sacrifices are offered the same way. But this man, after he had offered, verse 12, sin for one time, his own sacrifice, sat down on the right hand of God. Where is Jesus sitting? Well, Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 says he's sitting at the Father's right hand. The one that you crucified and the one that you slay, he is there at the Father's right hand. They were struck to the heart. They were pricked in their heart. They said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We have murdered the Son of God, and he's now up there as the King and the Lord. And Peter said to them, what? Repent ye and be baptized. Been a wonderful time for him to have said, as many of our religious friends these days that we love so much and wish they would read this closely. The idea is, I will send a prayer up to God and he'll save me. If you'll just come here and just bow down before this and ask in prayer, the Lord will hear you and save you. It'd been a wonderful time for him to have said that. They were already struck in their heart. They were troubled in their spirit. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent ye. Turn away from that sin. And be baptized, every one of you. Be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You and I have done that. We did not maybe know the fullness of the measure of that when we were young people obeying the gospel. But we grew into that knowledge. And how appreciative we are and how magnificent it is that he was there and he offered himself in such a complete way. When we're appreciative of Jesus giving us hope and life, it is really the idea. Because he says there in verse 18 of this chapter 10, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Jesus was not like the animal sacrifice, the burnt offerings, and the sacrifices for sins. He was in the plan. Back in Psalm 40, these particular statements are made somewhat by King David in his psalm. Many of the students went back to look at this particular thing and see if in fact he was speaking about himself. The writers had many times interpreted this was David talking in regard to what he had talked to the Father and his plan and his offering for people. And really what he was talking about was the Savior who would come, his offering for the sins of the world. In reference to this, the Septuagint Greek text of the Old Testament was continued on in some of its translation work in the New Testament. When this came, thou hast made for me a body, thou hast made for me for suffering, he said. That place that says body must made for me for suffering. He's saying in this regard, the Septuagint says, ears thou hast digged out for me. Ears thou hast digged out for me. That being the Hebrew of the passage, does that shed a little light, did for me, on Revelation chapters 2 and 3, when the writer is told, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." The Spirit of God was teaching us and showing us through David back there in Psalm 40 that there was coming one up there. That one would represent the will, the true will of the Heavenly Father. The fulfillment of his life would be in offering his body, in holding the sins of the world for their forgiveness. When you and I appreciate what he has done for us, we see that death has no power over us. Our physical death will occur in this earth because of our physical circumstances of life. But our spirit will never die. And the real you and me that go on and on, our Lord Jesus spoke in regard to us, to the disciples during his day and time, when in Matthew's gospel he sets forth this idea. He says to those who criticized him and said, "You're not yet 50 years old. Why do you say that this is the case about Moses?" He said, "Well, before Moses was, I am." Of course, they were mad at him and using those words, "I am," because that signified a reference to holiness and deity. And Jesus is saying, "I am divine." But they really, really did not accept that at that point in time. But in the midst of that, Jesus said, "For God is the God of the living, not of the dead." And he spoke in regard to the death and burial of Abraham, of David, of all those others along the way in that time. But in this regard, he said, "Abraham is still living. Moses still living. Jacob still living. They are known of the Heavenly Father, and it assures you and me that on life's other side we'll be known by name. The real person is going to continue on. Though this earthly life may go back to the dust from which it was originally made, our spirit will return unto God who gave it." How thankful we are that Jesus came and offered himself a sacrifice for sins. I want to read just verses in Hebrews 10, verses 10 through 13 once again. "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." When you and I enjoy the relationship with God, that we are set apart unto holy usage. We're set apart in the holy way. We're sanctified to the Lord. If we find ourselves offering our ways of life in a foolish way, let's just say that there are vulgar words being said around us. There is a vulgar joke being told around us. There are certain things that are going on around us all the time. We go to those particular movies because we like those better than anything else. We see the ratings for them and we want to go to that right there. Are we from our heart really set apart unto a holy use in those practices of life? Can we not be people who then stop and put our fingers in our ears and not hear those words said? Can we not enjoy a storyline without really being a part of that wording and that mannerisms of life? Surely we can make every effort to be as holy as we can be in the midst of an unholy world in which we live. What a blessing it is. Thank you for your listening and study with us tonight. What Jesus had in mind to carry out the will of the Heavenly Father above when he said, in sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, never had full pleasure in them, but a body thou hast made for me. I will go as it is written in the volume of the book concerning me, and do thy will, O God. He did, and his Heavenly Father, well, the Hebrew writer says, exalted him and gave him a name above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of God. What a wonderful thing it is to have this done. And Jesus was willing to do this. In life and in death, Jesus was showing to you and me that death is not so meaningful a thing when you're spiritually right with the Lord. And life is a way to live in a sanctified, holy way of doing things. As we stand together to sing this song of invitation tonight, if anyone is subject to Jesus' invitation, won't you come to him in repentance and prayer and be restored to him if you've obeyed that gospel? Or if you have not in days gone by obeyed that gospel, why not obey as they did on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, repenting and being baptized for the remission of their sins that were added to the Lord in his church on that day? Let's do that as we stand together and sing.
Here's a standing vanity and pride. Care
not my glory.
Sunday night.
Next Sunday night. He'll be here. Told you.